नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today's reading is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, Text 20. So please repeat. Kumbhata sukayate enam Kamo va mrityor antike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyas yeva natustira Kumbhata sukayati enam Kamo va mrityor antike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyasyeva natustida Kumbhata sukayate enam Kamo va mityurantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyasyeva natushtida Kumbhata sukayatena Avamanityantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadya seva natushtida Kumbhata sukayatena Kamo va mityurantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadya seva natushtida Kumbhata sukayatena Kamo va mityurantike Vadyasyeva natushtida Ladies, please stand. Kumbhata sukayatena Kamo va mityurantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyasyeva natushtida Kumbhata sukayatena Kamo va mityurantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyasyeva natushtida Kumbhata sukayatena Kamo va mityurantike Agatam niyamanasya Vadyasyeva natushtida Ka. What? Nu. Certainly. Ata. Material object. Sukayati. Gives happiness. Enam. To a person. Kama. Sense gratification derived from material things.
Sense gratification
Va.
Va.
Or.
Mrityu.
Death.
Death.
Antike.
Antike.
Standing nearby.
Standing nearby.
Agatam.
Agatam.
To the place of execution.
To the place of execution.
Niyamanasya.
Niyamanasya.
Of one who is being led. Vadasya,
Vadasya,
of one who is to be killed.
Of one who is to be killed.
Eva,
Eva,
like.
Like.
Na,
na,
not at all.
Not at all.
Tushtida,
Tushtida,
give satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Translation in purport by his disciples of his dying grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Death is not at all pleasing. And since everyone is exactly like a condemned man being led to the place of execution, what possible happiness can people derive from material objects or the gratification they provide? Please repeat. Death is not at all pleasing.
Death is not at all pleasing.
And since everyone is exactly like a condemned man, being led to the place of execution.
Being led to the place of execution.
What possible happiness can people derive?
What possible happiness can people derive?
From material objects.
From material objects.
Or the gratification they provide.
Or the gratification they provide.
Purport. It is customary throughout the world that a condemned man is offered a sumptuous last meal. For the condemned man, however, such a feast is a chilling reminder of his imminent death, and therefore he cannot enjoy it. Similarly, no sane human being can be satisfied in material life because death is standing near and may strike at any moment. If one is sitting in one's living room with a deadly snake at one side, knowing that at any moment the poisonous fangs may pierce the flesh, how can one sit peacefully and watch television or read a book? Similarly, unless one is more or less crazy, one cannot be enthusiastic or even peaceful in material life. Knowledge of the inevitability of death should encourage everyone to become determined in spiritual life. Om Akana Timurandasya Kananjana Shakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmae Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaparakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduktam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Jivasikam Itam Shah E Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gorange Hare Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hrishye Vanchakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Bhatidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namah Nashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So today's verse seems to be on this gradual development of the same points that in this material world, there is ultimately no happiness. There is an example given in the purport of a prisoner. The prisoner is sitting there on the death row waiting to die. In this country, it could be months and years. And then suddenly his notice is given. And he's given one ceremonial last meal of his choice. But when you know you're going to die within hours, how can you enjoy that? Where is the pleasure in such a meal? Although that may be the intention, there is no enjoyment there. Similarly, as we go through this life, those who are in knowledge know that death is certain, death is coming. There is no doubt, and Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, I am coming as all-devouring death. So in death, he devours everything. He devours everything that we have. He removes all our relationships, and then he takes our very body, our very concept of ourselves within this material universe is removed. And the living entity has gone through this cycle again and again, so many times. And each time, the same result. And each birth he comes and he's hoping, this time, I'm hoping somehow it won't happen again. But as the saying goes, if you keep doing the same thing, you can't expect a different result. So living their life in a materialistic way, the ordinary person cannot expect that he will avoid death. Even a young child, his first experience of death, usually oftentimes the parents try to help them avoid that, but it is usually a bit shocking. That here is a body, often of someone or something I knew, and suddenly the body is lifeless, the soul is gone, and he doesn't act and interact with me as he has before. That whole chapter is now finished. So that's a bit shocking for a young child, trying to adjust that this life is not permanent. It's going to change. It's going to be broken, interrupted. So first we see it happen to others, and then gradually as our intelligence develops, we think, this will happen to me. It may. So the living entity surrounds himself with different material objects to protect himself so that he has this kingdom, this fortress he builds up to protect himself so that he may avoid all kinds of suffering and especially avoid death. And he may surround himself with so many friends and relatives and well-wishers that offer him all help and protection, thinking now they will also protect me and death will not come. But it is all to no avail, because when the time of death comes, nothing, no one, no situation can prevent it. I was just reminded that there was some story, I don't know where it came from, but one time a man was trying to become very intelligent how to avoid death, and he knew, oh, Yamaraj, he's a gentleman. So if I smear my body with all stool and urine, they will avoid me because I'm untouchable. Prabhupada gave that example. But it was not successful. Not successful. So, we see this coming, and the choice is given. Surrender to Krishna. And some protection will be there from all these things, but we don't want. No, surrender to Krishna? No, I cannot do that. I have to give up so many things that I want, that I think will bring me happiness. So I don't want. And then the scenario plays out again and again. We just waste time waiting and waiting for the death to come, trying to forget that death is coming at any moment. And it will. It will come. We cannot be avoided. So, unless one is totally crazy, He cannot expect, he cannot even be enthusiastic for material life. Just like the condemned man, there's no way to be enthusiastic about this last meal because very soon it's going to come, very, very soon. So there is no peace for such a person. Then there is the example Prabhupada gives of a sadhu who was meeting four different kinds of people as he was traveling. And he wanted to bless them all. And I mention this because it's all connected with this idea of death and what will happen after that. So first he meets a prince, a wealthy man, who has a privileged birth, and he is enjoying in so many ways without any restriction. So to him, he says, don't die. You should go on with your life because right now you're enjoying so nicely without any restriction. But when you die, it will not be very good. Your life will be totally disturbed and you will have to suffer, face all the consequences of such an unrestricted life of sense gratification. Who knows what form of life you will take? And then as he traveled, he met a butcher. And to the butcher, he said something different. He said, don't live and don't die. Because while living, you're living in such a ghastly, horrible scene filled with slaughtered animals and blood and dead bodies. And after death, you will be engaged in more of the same, in terrible life because of this constant slaughter. So don't live and don't die. And then he finally met a brahmachari who was engaged in so many austerities serving the guru day and night. And his life, you could see, was that of austerity, which is difficult. And so for him, he said, don't live. You should die immediately. Because while living, you're taking so much trouble, experiencing so much difficulty, but after this life is over, you will go forward to a very wonderful life because of all your austerities. And finally, and most relevantly, he meets a devotee of Krishna. And to that person, that devotee, he says something very different. He says, you can live or die as you like. Because it makes no difference. Right now you're serving Krishna and you're fully absorbed in that eternal relationship of devotional service. And when you die, you will continue on the same. So you may live or die, your life is no different. So four different types of people and how they will face death, very different one to another. But this death here is actually a very motivating factor. Can be, should be. And I know for my own self in my early years, because of being born with a specific medical condition, I was always very keenly aware of death. Always expecting death may come soon. As a young child, age of 7, I had undergo heart surgery. And at that time, it was a somewhat rare operation. And the doctors, they said 50-50 chance that you'll live to be 50 years old. Now these operations are very common, or at least somewhat common, and so much problem is not expected. But those words stuck with me, and I was always wondering, how will I be ready? Because it could be very short time I'm in this body. And perhaps this was one of my impetuses, this fear of death, that led me ultimately to take Krishna consciousness seriously. As a young boy, I had many opportunities to engage in religious activities. Born in a Christian family and going to a Catholic boys' school taught by the Jesuits, who are some of the best scholars in the Catholic Church So many opportunities to understand and practice spiritual religious activities. But none of them were very satisfactory because the people who were teaching them were not able to practice them themselves very effectively. So it was not inspiring. And it was only when I met the devotees and ultimately met Srila Prabhupada that the inspiration was there, that finally here is someone and here is a process by which I can overcome this process of birth and death. And no more fear can be there. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked, how can we preach? What is the technique or process by preaching? And Prabhupada said, if you are not very advanced, then you cannot preach. But one who is sufficiently advanced, he can instruct others and inspire others how to conquer over birth and death. That this is the problem that they must face. So he must be able to convince others of the importance of this message in their life, to conquer over the cycle of birth and death. So, there are some There is some other commentary given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam of a further comment on this process of that we're studying here and the importance of conquering over death. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, sixth chapter, text 18, purport, Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, the Lord also assures that whoever may go to his abode of immortality shall never return to this mortal land of threefold miseries. The Lord is not like a mundane Lord. Mundane master or Lord never enjoys equally with his subordinates, nor is a mundane Lord immortal, nor can he award immortality to his subjects. The Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, can award all the qualities of his personality unto his devotees, including immortality and spiritual bliss. But the Lord, being himself supremely fearless, also awards the same quality of fearlessness to his pure devotees. So, the living entity, he suffers greatly because of this having to change bodies again and again. And it is very difficult for him. Constantly having to go from one situation to another, and having to again start all over and understand how to live life and try to protect himself. So what is the solution? Well, it's given that one, if he's fortunate, has the opportunity to associate with devotees. And if by that association he hears and takes advantage of that association, then gradually he will gain faith in the topics of Krishna Katha, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And with that faith, he must become determined to follow those instructions of Krishna. Because that is the purpose of understanding and hearing those instructions, that one can implement them in his life to make a solution to this process of birth and death. That is the importance of hearing. And by hearing, then he wants to surrender. He wants to surrender to Krishna. Now, sometimes a person wants to surrender, but he thinks that those things that are important to me, I will have to give up. So how can I do that? And he desperately holds on and hoping that he can still gain eternal benefit, but it is not possible. He must learn how to actually live in the spiritual world by surrendering completely to Krishna. In the spiritual world, there is no attachment to this material world. There's no interest in this material world. Everyone there is fully surrendered to Krishna. Everyone there is fully fully engaged in Krishna's service. I know when I was younger, I used to hear some Christian evangelists, and they would preach that what is life in heaven? You get to play 18 rounds of golf every day, 18 holes of golf. So that was going to be a very pleasant life. But what does that have to do with service to God? How is that pleasing to God? And can you do that eternally? I don't think so. Without any connection to Krishna, it becomes dry very quickly. So by surrendering to Krishna, one can actually conquer over death. And Prabhupada says in the purport to Canto 8, Chapter 2, Text 33, that the Lord clearly says, Mrityu sarva haras chaham, I am all devouring death. Thus, Mrityu, or death, is the representative who takes away everything from the living entity who has accepted the material body. Thus, no one can say, I do not fear death. This is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. One may argue, does the devotee die? And the answer is, a devotee certainly must give up his body. For the body is material. But the difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. And he will not again receive a material body subject to death. We are always in danger because at any moment, death can take place. So everyone should fear death because everyone is caught by the crocodile of time and may at any moment die. So the best course is to take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggles for existence in this material world, in which one takes repeated birth and dies, and then will reach this understanding of the ultimate goal of life. So when one surrenders to Krishna, then conquers over this fear. We have so many fears in this material world. Dhammar Prabhu the other day was discussing how living entities, human beings, have so many kinds of mental ways of dealing with things they can't protect themselves, things they can't overcome, psychosis, neurosis, and the list goes on. And so these are all based, many of them, on fears. But when one comes to Krishna, those fears are now overcome. They're conquered. Because Krishna says, I will give you protection. So instead of looking for false shelters in this material world, which cannot protect us, taking shelter of Krishna, then one gets the real protection. Protection from the fear of death. And he comes to know what should be feared and what should not be feared. What should be feared is this material energy and my continued existence in it. And what should not be feared is death if one has taken shelter of Krishna. And then by this freedom, one can understand further how to take shelter of Krishna, how Krishna gives protection. This is a repeated message, theme of Srimad Bhagavatam, Toshanam, the protection of the Lord. Again and again we see incidences of great devotees. Ambarish Maharaj, he was protected from Durvasa Muni's anger. Prahlad Maharaj, he was protected from his own father, Hiranyakashipu. And the residents of Vrindavan were protected so many times from so many dangerous demons who were attacking. And this is the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna will give protection. And I know that many devotees, maybe most devotees, if not all, have personal experience in their lives of how Krishna has given them protection. Protection that could not come from any other source. We did not know how or when it happened, but it happened. We were protected. And this gives us faith This gives us conviction that Krishna is there. Krishna's promise is firm. It's guaranteed. He can and he will give us protection. So by this personal experience even, we get the words of Krishna, but then also we get personal experience and one becomes convinced. Krishna is the person. Krishna is God. I should take full shelter and fully surrender unto him. Then my life of freedom can begin. Nothing further to be worried about or except how to serve Krishna better. So this is the process gradually by which one surrenders more and more to Krishna and then gradually learns how to develop love for Krishna and love for his devotees. This is also very important that in trying to love Krishna, we have to also learn how to love his devotees. Without that, our love is not complete. So, we are living in the society of devotees and we are reaching out to others. And we're trying to encourage others to come forward and you join this society. It is a loving atmosphere. And I know in my preaching in Tampa and other places, I see this, that the people come and they're very satisfied to be in the association of devotees because there is some good association. There is some upliftment. There are people who actually care about me and my ultimate destination. And that in that society, in that group, one gets more and more opportunities to become uplifted and to take shelter. And by taking that shelter of devotees, one gets that taste for hearing Krishna Katha. Hearing Krishna Katha, then one wants to follow the instructions, and then gradually surrender more and more. Sometimes I think it is a bit amazing that you see people coming, and gradually as they begin to take up the process of Krishna consciousness, they actually gradually become in a sort of standard mold of living the life of devotional service. From wherever they come, Prabhupada has given us a process by which that we gain the same benefits from whichever angle we come. And we get closer and closer to Krishna and we get to understand and fully surrender to Krishna gradually. So, with that kind of experience, that kind of conviction, one becomes fearless, and then he can give that message to others and help them understand the importance of taking shelter of a process that will give you fearlessness from death. It is not a false shelter. Like there are so many false shelters in this material world, but it is a shelter that will actually benefit us and will be dependable. So, at this point I would like to stop and invite questions and additions, comments, if anyone has any. This process of death has been given here in this section of Bhagavatam because Krishna is arguing how people may think that they can live happily in this material world, but death does not allow it. And that death is actually Krishna. So please, any questions, comments? So, Kalya Pani Prabhu and then Pran Govinda.
Both my parents are dead. All my grandparents are dead. I have many aunts and uncles, and they're all dead. My own younger brother is dead. And I've heard so much about death, and I know that I'm going to die. But frankly, I can't conceive, in my heart, I don't really believe it, somehow. I can't envision, I can't conceive of how that would be. I know you've said you have to hear about it, And he provided so much subject matter for hearing. But any further tips?
But sometimes one may have the experience of seeing someone actually die, and that is, at least for a moment, is very inspiring. And we can take Krishna's words as factual. Each person gets inspired in different ways. And the point here in this verse is that this fear of death, or this solution to the fear of death, can motivate one. But being in the association of devotees, if we simply take advantage of service to Krishna, then, like the experience Narada Muni has, death will come like simultaneous lightning and thunder, and the body will change, and we'll go on serving Krishna. I hope so. Hope that's satisfactory. Okay, what's happening?
Maybe I'm a little strange, but I think always that where my focus goes, I react on the subject that I'm focusing. So if I'm focusing that I'm eternal, Krishna is eternal, Bhagavad Gita beginning, actually death does not bother. I may be strange, but it doesn't bother me. And practically I'm saying, maybe I'm a little strange as I'm saying. Because Krishna did say, and if I don't believe it, that means I'm atheist. I don't believe in Krishna. Krishna is eternal, our relationship with Krishna is eternal, I am eternal, devotional service is eternal. And in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, last verse, in the Parva, Prabhupada writes, devotional service and spiritual world, both are on absolute platform. But spiritual world, I may not have access at this moment, but I do have access of devotional service. And if I hold on to this devotional service and accept this subordination to serve Vaishnavas and Krishna, then fear disappears. We should experience now. Why wait till...
That is true. That is the ultimate improvement, you know, that we want to make, so that we become free from any fears and we become absorbed in serving Krishna. When we're absorbed, then there's no fear. It's like the coward boys, when they went into the mouth of Agasura, they weren't afraid of dying. They were simply afraid we won't be able to see Krishna anymore. Because that was their goal in life, to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. They weren't afraid of death.
I was just thinking of Kali Yupani Prabhu's comments, which weren't so much a question of fear of death, but of almost like a non-acceptance, that this is a reality. And remind me very much, of course, of Yamaraj's question to Yudhishthira. He said, what's the most amazing thing? And he said, just as he said, I've seen my fathers die, my grandparents have died, everyone around me has died, but I think I will not die. And I was thinking that's, in one sense, that's very natural and normal, because we are eternal. In other words, the eternal living being, the spirit soul, doesn't really acknowledge non-existence, because we are eternally existent, and therefore there's this conflict between, you know, the pure spirit soul who is eternal and being within this body, which is of course temporary and mortal. And I think that's the conflict we see, and that's so it's natural that people would think, how could I die? Because we don't, in one sense. So yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of knowledge and realization until we kind of understand those distinctions.
That's true. And then also there is sometimes we get reality checks, you know, in life. We're hit with suddenly a certain situation, just like as you were mentioning, okay, so many people have died in my family and friends. And then what is the understanding? I'm next in line. Like there was one lady who was 100 years old, and they interviewed her and tried to find out her secret. And she was very active, and she was going to visit so many friends. She said, but, you know, so far I've had 3 husbands that have all died. All my friends have died. My children have died. There's only me left. So I just keep going from funeral to hospitals, visiting people on their way out. So it wasn't a very happy life. Another person, he was 120. I don't know, this is the story, but 120. And at that age, he said, my life is complete. I don't need to do anything more. Let me go. But he had to live, you know, a considerable number of years, 10 or 20 years later, longer. And so for him, life was tasteless. There was nothing left because everything, everyone was gone. His body was no longer fit for enjoying anything. He was very, you know, much in the effects of old age. So, you know, this is like part of the realization, this verse, that what is there to enjoy? Death is coming. There's nothing left. And I may be next. Well, first we have some ladies here, and then you can go with.
Well, sometimes it's not the fear of death, you know, that people are afraid of, but getting old and not able to serve Krishna, you know, the body become disrupted. And, you know, you become, I don't know, invalid or something. And it seems like it's mostly mind service. I mean, how do you keep, you know, that's usually a big fear with devotees, that they're not able to serve until death. So, you know, the body become old and you can't serve. I mean, the mind has to become very strong to serve, or,
yes, hearing becomes very important at that time. And I recall the example of one devotee in L.A. You know, he's quite elderly, and then he was doing deity seva every day and doing artiks. And then he had a stroke, and he couldn't do anything. But somehow or other, and he couldn't speak hardly. But the only thing he could say was the Hare Krishna mantra, and he just kept repeating that again and again. So he was serving Krishna. And Krishna will give one realization, will give one reciprocation. Because the first purpose, primary service is with the tongue, with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and the hearing. So these can go on. And we can go deeper and deeper by Krishna's grace. Madaman, you're keeping track, who's... One other lady here had raised her hand. Yes? This Brahmachari, I don't know his name.
Yeah. as long as we have material attachments, isn't it good to have a fear of death?
Yes.
Yes.
So if somebody's, you know, low, philosophically we understand that we're devotees and that, you know, we're eternal, that we're not going to die, but still... That's not, and then to say, well, I have no fear of death because I understand the philosophy, that seems artificial. That if somebody comes in right now with a gun, I think most of us, well, me anyway, I know I would be scared. I would be afraid of dying. if somebody has absolutely no material attachment, they're ready, and Krishna, you can take me right now if you want, but I'm not there. I am afraid of death.
Interesting. Your statements made me recall the example of Srila Prabhupada when he was in New York, and he had his, I guess, third heart attack, and devotees were not knowing what to do, and going to take him to a hospital, and Prabhupada relates later that he was thinking somehow, this is it, this is time. And he simply was chanting Hare Krishna. You know, Krishna has come now, death has come, let me chant Hare Krishna. So that kind of conviction we have to have, that this is the path to follow. Yeah. That's been given, we have faith in the acharyas, we have faith in Krishna, that this is our path, this is how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do, and we know the result. Krishna says, you'll come to me. If you think of me at the time of death, surely you will come to me. So we have that faith and conviction. Is that okay? Anyone else?
I was like the Bengali Gobar Hussey story, where the dry dung patty is being thrown in the fire. and the white one is pointing and laughing. And I've been waiting for several days for someone to quote this Deha Patya Karatradishi Atma Samecha Satsati Teshantamatam Minimum Pashanapina Pashati. But no one's quoted it yet, so we're just mentioning it. We think we're protected by our relatives, and we don't see Pashanapina Pashati. We don't see we're seeing, but we're not seeing the Bhagavatam. Beginning with the Bhagavatam points us out.
Yes. Yes, thank you for that. Okay, last Guru Prasad Mataji.
I have a story I want to share. This is many, many years ago. I was distributing books at the airport, and those new Krishna books had just come out with Prabhupada's picture really big at the back, you know, the whole back cover. And so we were distributing in the airport, Kennedy Airport. And there was a section we're not supposed to be, where the people come off, you know, to get their baggage. But you know how devotees are, we always go into places we're not supposed to be sometimes. So I was there, and this man was coming down the elevator, you know, man, older gentleman from Europe. And so he saw, I had Prabhupada's book in my hand, and he saw me and he started making this weird sound. And so he was looking at me, so I thought, oh God, I'm going to be caught right away. So I start moving, and he jumped, he pushed the people aside, and he ran, and he grabbed me. And I thought, he must be one of the people here, he's going to take me right to the authority. So I said, sir, I'm leaving, please leave me alone. And he said, no, who's this man? And I said, which man? So he turned it back, and he said, this, Prabhupada. And I said, oh, this is our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you won't believe this, I had a dream, I was down. And these Yamaraj must have come to take him. And he said, these horrible people came, and they were trying to take me. And this man came and went like this. And they left. And he said, I've been searching all over to find out who this man is. And so he said, please tell me who he is. Please tell me. He saved me. So then, of course, I preached him and I gave him the books. But I always remember that, that even people who really don't know Prabhupada saves them from death.
Yes, that's a fact. There was actually one of our god brothers who had fallen away from his practices of devotional service, and somehow he was dying. And his family had no idea that he had been a devotee. And in the hospital, as he was dying, his last moments, he cried out, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you have come. And Prabhupada came to him just as he was leaving his body. So Srila Prabhupada's given us promises, and he personally will come as we follow him. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Gunta Chimad Lagadam, all glories to some of the devotees.